Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Kara.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the GC Podcast. What a joy it is to welcome my podcast friend and soon-to-be host of GC Podcast, Kara Garrity. Kara, it's fun to hang out with you a bit, talk about podcasting, and I'm curious, since you're going to be the new host, we may all want to know, what is your vision for GC Podcast going forward?
Yes, well, it is good to be here, Anthony. And when I think about the GC Podcast, I really think about making the connections between theory and practice. So my vision moving forward is really continuing what I believe has been happening in the past 2 years with GC Podcast, really putting flesh on the bones of what does healthy church look like in real life and learning together from one another, people who are in the field actually doing it.
Yeah, you brought me back to a memory I had. I was sharing lunch with somebody I just met, and he mentioned to me, he goes, I don't know if I'm a theologian or a practitioner. And I said, Great, that's exactly where you want to be, because you need to be both. And so as we talk about ministry theory, that's got to move into practice, doesn't it? And so GC Podcast is a wonderful place for that discussion to happen. Well, Kara, we're moving into the month of November, believe it or not. And so Thanksgiving's just around the corner. So let's think about the meal for a moment. You know, we got the tryptophan nap that happens after all the turkey. But I'm curious, what are your top three side items in order of preference? And just a note here, if you say cranberry sauce, I'm afraid the listening audience ratings will plummet for GC Podcast. So I'm just floating that out there. But what say you?
Have no fear. Cranberry sauce is definitely at the bottom of my list.
Yes.
You know, I have two versions of Thanksgiving meals that happen. My family Thanksgiving meal, my top three sides. It's gonna have to be stuffing, rolls, and potatoes with gravy. Mm. But then I have the Friendsgiving that happens.
Okay.
And so that's a whole nother story. The top three sides for Friendsgiving are pastelitos, rice and beans, and pernils. So two different sides of the the flavor spectrum here.
That doesn't even sound like the same holiday. Wow, that is a totally different meal.
Well-rounded Thanksgiving.
Yeah, mashed potatoes and gravy. Come on. Well, we know that Thanksgiving is far more than a holiday. It's not isolated to a day. It's a posture of the heart ongoing in the Christian walk. And I'm just curious from your perspective, Kara, why is gratitude and Thanksgiving so vital to our journey with Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus is everything. And in him, he shares his life. And so what more is there that we could have? And so how could we not be thankful? And I think this practice of gratitude and Thanksgiving, posturing our heart towards things, really orients us to him and his good things and the life that he has for us and is constantly drawing us into and sharing with us. So I really see gratitude. It's a spiritual formation practice that we get to partner with Jesus in, because we are not even thankful on our own, right? His spirit with us teaches us to be thankful. So yeah. Man, Jesus is our everything. And so what can we do but give praise and thanks?
You know, thinking about it as a spiritual practice, I have found, and maybe you've experienced the same thing, that gratitude begets gratitude. Like the more I practice, the more I have, and the more I see things to be grateful for. Well, one of the things we can all be grateful for are the good people who serve in GCI congregations as church life coordinators. The role of the church life coordinator is our podcast topic this month. And Kara, I'm curious, what comes to your mind when you think about church life?
Well, when I think about life in general, it's all of the mess together, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly, the exciting and the mundane, the learning and the challenge and the growth, all of that together is our lived life experience. And so church life to me is doing all of this with the body of Christ, living our lives daily. We often use that phrase, life on life, right? Mm-hmm. With others in our church community. That's church life to me. It's doing the exciting and the mundane together, the quote unquote churchy stuff and the let's go get some ice cream or come to my soccer game. That's church life to me.
Yeah, you know, in the lectionary, we've been in John 6 for several weeks at the time of this recording, and Jesus says he's the bread of life. And I often think about how bread is just so common. It's just mundane. It seems rather boring. Yes. But that teaches us that Jesus is active and present, even in the moments where it doesn't seem like it's a mountaintop experience, you know, having ice cream with a friend or those types of things. So that's encouraging to know, because church life isn't always this great high. It is living life on life together, as you said. Well, Marty Davey is my guest. He's a pastor in Jacksonville, Florida. And let's listen to that interview. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and it's my joy to welcome this month's guest, Marty Davey. Marty is the lead pastor of the GCI congregations in Jacksonville, Florida, and Woodbine, Georgia. And along with the volunteers from the Jacksonville congregation, Marty recently launched the first GCI neighborhood camp in the Southeast region. Well done, Marty. Marty is married to the wonderful Yvonne, and they have 3 children and 3 grandchildren, with 1 on the way. So this family of joy keeps expanding. Marty, thank you for joining the pod. And before we get into the topic at hand, which is the role of the church life coordinator, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what is good in your life right now?
Sure thing, Anthony, and hello to everyone listening online. What is good in my life is it's just such a privilege and honor to be a pastor in the body of Christ, and especially in GCI and our church for so many years, since I think 1984 when I was first hired on as a full-time assistant and later as an associate and a pastor. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful privilege. And I think the best job in the world. And really glad to be here today and talk a little bit about the Faith Avenue Church Life Coordinator. All my kids live nearby in the Jacksonville and Gainesville area. So that's another special blessing we have about this location. And so life is good despite the ups and downs and trials and struggles. We feel very blessed.
Well, Marty, I've known you for a few years now, and I'm so grateful for your friendship. And I believe you when you say it, you love being a pastor, and it's the greatest job in the world. And today we're going to be talking about the role of the church life coordinator. And you mentioned it's in the Faith Avenue. Now, our listening audience may be thinking, What on God's green earth is a church life coordinator? And Marty, why don't you share with us as a follow-up to that, why it matters?
It's an interesting contrast in a way to perhaps what we've been used to when we think of church activities and church life, because we've always sort of grouped together the outreach and community activities with church activities. And the church life coordinator now, as we see it under the Faith Avenue, is an area where we focus more specifically on the church activities within the church with the members and with the attendees and perhaps some of their family members who may come to church activities and so forth. So we make an intentional distinction between the in the church activities and the in the community activities. And it's a good way to look at it because it helps us to be more intentional on our outreach on the one hand and more intentional on meeting the needs of the members that we've come to know and love.
And as we think about the church life coordinator, Marty, from your perspective, are we just creating another position for somebody to fill, or what is the end game with having a church life coordinator in the life of a church?
I wouldn't say creating another position for someone to fill. I think a lot of times we may feel like we have too many positions to fill, depending on the average congregation. But it's more intended to give a specific focus to the specific needs, as I understand it, and rather than just distribute duties alone. Now, there is value in distributing duties and giving others an opportunity to head up an activity or a group of activities. Giving others that opportunity is so valuable in providing more input and more team participation, more broad range of ideas and so forth, other than just maybe the pastor or the assistant taking care of most of that. So in answer to your question, in a sense, yes, it does create another role, but not simply for that purpose, but for other and bigger purposes.
Well, let's talk about some of those big purposes, Marty. You were talking about the church life coordinator. And of course, people have been hearing the vision of healthy church quite a bit in GCI. How do you see the church life coordinator fitting into that overall vision as you understand it?
Well, part of our desire and our model for healthy churches is to encourage the team-based, pastor-led model where more and more people participate as they're able and willing and are able to share their input and to get experience leading and directing activities or events in serving in ministry to the members. And so it's healthy in the sense that it does allow others to participate and to participate not just as a worker only, but as someone who can be creative, who can design things, organize things, mentor others, learn new experiences. So it helps to develop and equip members for, as it says in the book of Ephesians, for works of service, works of ministry. It's also healthy in the sense that it causes us to put an intentional focus on the needs of the members. Quite often, because of the emphasis upon evangelism and making disciples, which is so important in a healthy church, but quite often because of that emphasis, we may tend to neglect the needs of the disciples who are already in the congregation, assuming they are made disciples and that they may not need as much attention or growth or building up apart from the weekly worship service. And I think personally that's a mistake, because being a disciple is really a lifelong process all the way to the end. And remaining a disciple is, in many cases, is difficult, as we see in the parable of the sower. There are forces that work against us and temptations and struggles that discourage us, that can knock us off the pathway. Hopefully for a while. We know God says that he doesn't intend to lose any of us. And even if he has to see us hurt ourselves so that the spirit may be saved in the long run, he's going to do that. He's going to be there for us. But nonetheless, we want people to stay disciples on the discipleship pathway, and in the church is a nourishing and good place for that to happen. So it provides a way for existing members to be built up in a legitimate and needful way, and to stay connected to the church so they can be nourished and develop those relationships that also allow them to want to stay into the church and help them feel like, you know, these are my brothers, my sisters, my family. I want to stay apart. I know them well. I've gotten to know them through socials and church life activities, and so it all works together to involve them in service, works of service, involve them in love of the membership, and involve them in ways to be creative and to express their ideas.
Hmm. What I hear you saying, Marty, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this person, the church life coordinator, is someone who is eyes on in terms of the life of the existing congregation. Because in a team-based environment, we understand one person can't do it all, whether it's the senior pastor, whether it's the Faith Avenue coordinator or champion, rather. So as we think through this church life ministry, who might be an ideal candidate in a local church to be a church life coordinator? I suppose it must be somebody who's already involved in church life and has a care for that. But why don't you explain who might be an ideal candidate?
I think an ideal candidate, as you said, would to begin with have to be somebody who comes to your church life activities and events. Not to say that a person couldn't change if you don't have anyone at the present time who has all the qualities that you need. You might be able to assign someone, teach them, mentor them, and equip them and see a change in their lives. But it's by far better to have someone who is already active socially in the church, and they love it, and they're excited about it. They love being together. They show up at the church activities as a participant, as a worker, often as maybe helping with the planning. So you're going to look for that first. I think everybody would. Availability of time is going to be important too. People are pulled in so many different directions nowadays, and many families, most families are two income families, husband, wife, are both working and don't have as much time as people might have had 30, 40 years ago. And so availability is going to be very important. Someone who can put in some time and they have the enthusiasm for it. They see the value to the church. And one last thing I would say is very important, and that would be good people skills, good social skills, that they're good with working with people and working out little management, maybe not disputes, but issues that come up as people have different areas of responsibility and planning and activity. So good people skills would be very important also.
I would think, too, collaboration is really key. Somebody who can work within a team environment. And that sort of leads me to my next question I'd like to ask you is, you know, we see the church life coordinator operating in the Faith Avenue, and you've already touched on that. How does that work? How does the role relate to the Faith Avenue, and how do you see the church life coordinator collaborating with the Faith Avenue champion? Can you talk to that issue?
That's somewhat of a challenging question, I believe, and I think most pastors may find that a little bit challenging as well, because we think, you know, a church activity is not like a discipleship class or a small group meeting or connect group meeting. A church activity is quite different from that. But if you think about it, a church activity is sort of like a small group or connect group meeting, only bigger, hopefully, if you have good participation. And so you find yourself in a similar environment that you would have at a connect group, where it's less formal. People are having a lot of give and take and conversation. People are getting to know each other more as a person they are inwardly. So in a way, you achieve many of the same things at church activity or church social that you want to achieve in a connect group or discipleship group. The only difference, the main difference you might think of, might be that in a church activity, you may not, more often you may not be pulling out the Bible and having a time of devotion, but sometimes you will at a church activity, depending on the nature of the activity. But if you're having a fish fry or a basketball game or a game night, usually you may not plan a devotional time in there, but you're getting the other benefits of the social time together as members. So I see that connection in that way, that it's like a small group, like a connect group, only bigger. And you had that same sharing and that same getting to know and getting to love each other.
I've been to your facility in Jacksonville a few times, and it seems like every time I'm there, there's activity going on, and I see multiple generations involved. So I think this next question is really fitting for you, because you have prioritized yourself as a pastor to have a vibrant social life, a vibrant church life. So tell us, from your mind's eye view, Marty, when is a church life ministry functioning vibrantly and in a healthy way? Tell us what it looks like.
Church life activity, church life, a social church life program or calendar of events and activities is healthy when you see, to begin with, participation. People are participating. They want to come out. They want to be with each other. You see the participation in terms of being the receivers of the activity, but also the participation of the givers of the activity, the team expansion, where so-and-so's doing setup and so-and-so's getting the food and another person is maybe arranging transportation for those who need a ride. And so you have participation by many people in the planning and the organization. That is especially a great sign of a healthy church activity and a church life activity success. And so I love to see that. I love to see so many people involved and helping one another out, and love to see so many people participating. And I think one other thing you really want to look for is joy and laughter and happiness at that event. We do a lot of recreational activities. Probably most churches do. We do other types of activities, maybe an inspirational activity or a motivational activity, or perhaps it's an educational activity. But whatever type of activity you're doing, do you see people being happy? Are they enjoying it? We live in a world that's full of struggles and many ups and downs, and life is going to have a lot of pain, even for Christians. And so anything we can do to lift people up, to bring people enjoyment, is so good. It's so good for mental health. It's so good for spiritual health, and it's so good for the bonding and love and unity that we need in the church, which also results in people more likely to stay in the church.
Yeah, I think that's so important what you just said. We've all experienced it on some level, whether in church life or elsewhere, that if we're laughing together, we tend to stay together, don't we? We learn together too. Yeah. I find if I'm laughing in a room, I tend to learn more. And I think what you just said is so vital. So if this is, say, I'm a pastor and I haven't had someone coordinating church life. I've been doing that myself, or it's not been happening on the level that we want to. So I'm hearing what you're saying, Marty, and we want to engage this. We want to do this. If a pastor is just getting started, what are some of the things you would tell them about launching a church life ministry?
I think it's really important to always survey your congregation, whether it's in your advisory council or an after church meeting, or maybe a handout that you accumulate information from the congregation, but you don't spend, you know, a lot of time in your public service discussing. But getting the ideas from the congregation, what do you folks like to do? What do you enjoy doing? What will you support? What will you participate in? So that's so important, to look at the viewpoint of the people you wish to attract to these church life events and activities, and then of course get the ideas and input from the pastor himself. Your input as a pastor is so important too, to give to your church life coordinator. The pastor, he or she may have certain things that give them goals in the congregation that they wish to achieve. And so it's so important that your faith life coordinator, your church life coordinator in the Faith Avenue, takes input from the pastor. And then so important that the pastor receives the input from the church life coordinator, what goals and activities they may have. So what we're talking about there really is, the more everybody's on the same page, the congregation, the Faith Avenue coordinator, the church life coordinator, the pastor, the more everybody's on the same page and understands the goals and purposes, then that's the important best way to start and the best place to start, and to have that all together first. And then you might be thinking, do I have enough people to put this activity on? So each activity you have to evaluate. I think it's important for some supervisory person, whether it's the Faith Avenue coordinator, the pastor, someone from the pastoral team, some supervisory person does look in on what the church life activity coordinator is doing, so that they can be sure they've got enough help, that the ducks are all in a row as much as possible, that they've got the support, they've got the budget, people are being contacted and notified. So I appreciate the question that, you know, what can a pastor do? Because it is important to have some eyes on the church life activity calendar, and to be sure that the person coordinating those things has the help that they need, and has the participation, and has even the additional ideas they may need.
You know, every context is different. Every church is a little different, but we can also see some of the qualities that are universal to all churches. And I imagine, as you talked about goals, you know, the pastor may have goals for the church life coordinator. I imagine one of those goals would be the inclusion of all people within the community of faith. Could you speak to that, how when you're planning activities, to really have an eye toward including all the folks from the congregation?
Including all the folks in the congregation is another challenge, because many activities are specific to an age group you might have, and you will have specific age group activities, of course, as part of your church life activity program. Some are going to be youth activities. You might have some senior activities. But the more we can include everybody, then the more the church sees itself as a family, and the less likely that any particular age group or demographic will see themselves as a special interest group. The more we include everybody in the church activity, then the more likely it is that the church will see itself as a family, and every age group, every demographic, every nationality that may be in your congregation, every interest group, they will begin to focus more on the church family and the needs of others, and not see themselves as simply a special interest group in the family. I know from 30 plus years of pastoring that I've seen times where, more often this happens with youth groups, they get so much individual attention that they are like a special interest group in the church, and they don't get to know the senior citizens or the other members. And when they get a little bit older and they're no longer in the youth group, they don't have a connection to other people in the church. And so that's a simple example that we see among youth groups. If they are done that way, we can apply that same example to the church as a whole, that although there will be a need for specific activities for specific groups from time to time, the more you can do it as a family and everybody participating together, then a healthier outlook the church members will have on each other, and not just seeing themselves as a special interest.
Yeah, that's really good and insightful, Marty. We're wrapping up our time together, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to add anything else that you'd like to this discussion. What would you like to say to our pastors and ministry leaders?
I would like to encourage my brothers and sisters out there in pastoring and ministry leadership to maybe design your activity calendar with a grouping method, where you look at what types of activities are we looking for. For example, when I look at the activities we have in our congregations here, most of them are recreational and fun activities, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't feel badly about that. But I also see that we have other types of church life activities and events. We have some that, in addition to the recreational and fun activities, we have some that are what I call inspirational, motivational activities, like our youth camps, or if we have a movie night with a Christian movie or something along those lines. We have commemorative and celebratory activities like birthdays and roast and Valentine's dinner for the couples, a Christmas party for the kids. So some activities are going to be commemorative or celebratory. We have activities that are educational or instructive, such as going to a museum together or a marriage workshop or dance lessons, a youth event where they learn about different careers. And then we have activities that I call our inspirational, introspective, and reflective. Someone might participate in a walk to Emmaus with a group of church brothers and sisters, or somebody might go to an adult retreat. And then lastly, last group that I like to use is a service and assistance and aid activities, like work parties or fundraisers, or putting on a worship service at prison for the inmates. So I just would like to encourage you to not limit yourself only to recreational and fun activities, even though those are so important and will be a big part of it. But look at the other groupings as well, and maybe put an activity in there for some of those sometime during the year as well. And then you'll have a better chance that you'll get everybody included when you do so.
Yeah, you've given us some really good advice, Marty. Thank you so much. I can tell the 30 years of pastoral ministry playing a role in the experience that you're sharing with us. But we're not done with you yet. We have a tradition here at GC Podcast that I get to have a little bit of fun at your expense, I guess we might call it. I want to ask you 7 rapid-fire questions, and I invite you to give me the first thing that pops into your mind. Are you game?
Wow, it's kind of scary, but is it truth or dare?
not quite like that, but hopefully we'll get some good answers here. First of all, what is your favorite sport?
Football.
Football, huh, I didn't know that. Scale of 1 to 10, how good of a driver are you, really?
I would say 9. My kids tell me I drive too slow, so that puts me way up there.
Okay. Can I ask Yvonne if you're a 9? Would she have the same answer?
I'm sure. I don't know. Now that I don't know. They do tell me that I'm late turning my blinker off.
Fill in the blank. Country roads.
Take me home.
Of course. You are from where, Marty?
Well, I did spend some time in West Virginia, but I was born in North Carolina and lived a lot of my life in Tennessee as well. So I'm a Southeastern, born and bred most of my time.
Yeah. something you still want to do that's on your bucket list?
Something I still want to do that's on my bucket list. Wow.
Maybe dunk a basketball?
Yeah. Well, I wish I could jump that high. I have to think about that one. I mean, I feel like I'm the man who has everything and has done everything he wants to do. I just feel very satisfied in that regard. Yeah, but
that's a well-lived life.
Let me think about that.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Probably the coffee toffee flavor. When you have that coffee and toffee flavor together. Espresso coffee, I think is what they call it at Publix.
Yeah. If you owned a boat, what would you call it?
Probably Tranquility. Ooh. Tranquility. So pleasant and peaceful to be out on the water.
Yeah, amen to that. And finally, and you've touched on this already, but why do you love being a pastor?
I think it's because when I came to know Jesus Christ as a 17-year-old, and I had had so much difficulty in my past and in my life, and it changed everything. It changed everything about me, everything about my outlook and my attitude, and that it has enriched me so much and enriched my life, and every good thing has come to me through being a believer in Jesus. All the good things in life have resulted from that. I want those same things for everybody else. I know it's only a human life, and eternal life is most important, but I just believe that all the good things in life, along with the struggles and trials, come to us through our walk with Jesus Christ. And I just want to see people have those good things in their life and enjoy their lives.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to close this interview. Jesus does change everything. And Marty, you are a beloved child of God. Thank you so much for joining me today. And as is our practice with GC Podcast, I'm going to invite you to end the show with a prayer. Would you be willing to pray for our churches, pastors, and ministry leaders?
I'd be happy to. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to know you. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who has made it all possible. We thank you for living in us through the Holy Spirit, guiding us in our service, our ministry, to your beloved children and our part of the body of Christ. And we pray today, Lord, that this podcast will be a blessing, will give encouragement and inspiration to others to serve in the same way, to enrich the lives of others in the church life area. We thank you for Anthony's contribution and the great job he does. Ask your continued blessing upon him and this as well. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Kara, what did Pastor Marty say that resonated with you?
There were a number of things, but I'll pick just a couple. The first on a practical side was that suggestion to survey the members of the church community who are already gathering. I think that's so important. Understanding what people actually want to do, what they want to share with others as well. If we just stick with the regular church life script, we might miss the opportunity for someone to share something beautiful with the rest of the church community. And that connects with this idea. I love that Pastor Marty identified joy as a characteristic of healthy church life, because it is joyful to be part of Christ's body together, to come together because he's the one that unites us. And then lastly, I think this idea of holistic and well-rounded church life activities is really important. And so I really appreciated that there are different ways to do life together. I mean, mean, like I already mentioned, it's the exciting and the mundane, right? The all these different aspects of life coming together. And so to have a robust and well-rounded church life routine or rhythm of activities, I think is really meaningful.
I love when the Spirit weaves a thread with each of these podcasts. I remember last month you mentioned about taking a survey of the various generations in the church so that we're listening to one another. And Pastor Marty drove that home as well. We really do need to listen to one another. And then speaking of listening, it's an opportunity now for everyone in GCI to hear and watch the 2021 GCI Denominational Celebration. What a Spirit-filled event it was. Kara, where is it available? Where can people find it?
You can go ahead and find the main sessions and the workshops at gci.org. So again, just go ahead and visit gci.org and you'll be able to find access to the main sessions and workshops from the celebration.
Good stuff. Well, friends, we really appreciate you listening to the GC podcast. If you like what you heard, and why wouldn't you? Give us a rating wherever you've been listening to this podcast. It really does help get the word out and for others to join the conversation. So until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.